Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And Merry Christmas, everybody. Praise God. And here on the Believer's Voice of Victory, we're celebrating Christmas from now through December the 25th, Christmas Day. Glory to God. By giving you a special gift every day. It's part of our 25 days of Christmas. Just go to kcm.org/25days and get all the information there. Hey, we get excited about this. I'm a Christmas kind of a guy. Amen. Whoa. I mean, when I was a little boy, my birthday is on the 6th of December, so mother would always get the Christmas tree up by my birthday. Oh, I just had to have it. But then, boy, the 6th through the 24th, it was agony. Watch the presents stack up. My mother loved Christmas. Well, so did my dad. But we're just a Christmas family, and we always enjoyed it. And I said, we still do. We're all in it with you. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. We receive your presence on this broadcast. And we thank you and worship you. We open our hearts. We open our minds to receive revelation from heaven. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about words. The most important things in this earth. Let me say it again. Words are the most important things in this planet. Praise God. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, since words are the most important things in this planet, that makes the Word of God the most precious thing in this planet. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, give us deeper insight and revelation of this. Now, you remember John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning with God. Hallelujah. The Father, the Son, who is the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Now, this then, the Word of God, the covenants of God, His very bond, is just as much a revelation of God in the earth as He is. This is just as much God as He is. Oh, my goodness, my. Hallelujah. Now then, we talked about the fact that this universe, this is a Word-created universe. Genesis chapter 1, 1, 2, and 3. Then Hebrews chapter 1, we found out that it is a Word-upheld universe. He is upholding all things by the Word of His power. Amen. Now, let's go back over to Mark 11, 23 once again. Because it is not a good thing to talk about all of these things. You can't separate them from faith. because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Brother Copeland, why do you preach so much about faith? I mean, why do you talk about faith so much? Well, for one thing, that's what I'm called to do. But now think about this. You can't get born again without it. We are born again by faith. The just shall live by faith. You can't walk the Christian walk without it, because we walk by faith and not by sight. It is by faith, so that it might be by grace. The gift of righteousness is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, you can just go on and on and on and on and on and on. God is a faith God. He is love. He is a faith God. Faith worketh by love. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. We must. I can't impress this on you enough. The Lord has been impressing me with this now for months. We must renew our minds that when we say love, we said God. And when we say God, we've said love. Love has become a slang word. I love my car. I love pizza. I love this. I love that. And you can have very little respect for the love of God when you don't respect the word love. So, what does the word say? To love my new shirt? No. The scripture says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. He wants you to have a new shirt. He wants you to have these things. These things are good, and he knows you have need of all of these things. But we must develop a greater and higher respect for God himself. When you say love, you've said God. And you ask any Christian, you believe God loves you? Oh, yes, Brother Copeland. Then why, when the going gets tough, I just don't understand why you don't you care? How did you let this come on me? See, you don't believe he loves you. You understand that he does, but you don't trust the love. I know you didn't do this to me, and I know, praise God, I know with all my heart, the reason you told me to do this is because you love me. Now, it doesn't make sense right now, but I believe it. I believe the love, and I trust you with all my heart, and I don't lean to my own understanding. That is so vital. That is faith in love. Faith in God. Faith in love. Same thing. But the renewing of your mind to love you, all of these words and all of this has to do with his love. Praise God. Now, Mark 11, verse 20, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus answering said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say, well, have faith in love. Huh? Oh, yeah. Glory to God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, which he saith, what are things that you say? Words. So let's read it that way. Believe that those words which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now then, let's go to the 12th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. And look at the 36th. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You tell me words are not important? For by your words you shall be justified. By your words you shall be condemned. This is serious business. Now, let's look at this from the sixth chapter of Luke, because Luke adds something to it in his writing that Jesus said. 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, or the deposit of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. Verse 44, every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes. See, that a good man out of the good treasure, good deposit, what you've put in there, what you have put in there is what comes out. Huh? Bringeth forth that which is good, an evil man out of the evil deposit of his heart, or heart full of fear and unbelief. Bringeth forth that which is evil. Why? How? How, Jesus? How does he do it? For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. That's what causes it to come to pass. You have today in your life, I have today in my life, what I said yesterday. Amen. Now, this is spiritual law. You can't change it. You can change the words. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, God just preached myself happy on that one right there. So now stop and think about it. We live in a word created, word upheld, word dominated environment. Amen. All right, now, let's go back over. We won't take time to look all these up. We looked them up last week. We've got so much to do today. And if you've downloaded your notes from last week, you've got them. Now then, download them for this week, and you'll have them. And have all the scriptures and everything there. So now, Genesis 1:1-3, God said, light be, light was. Hebrews 1:3, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. Psalm 19:14, make my words acceptable to you, O Lord. Psalm 91:2, this one just does me that way. Hallelujah. Think about it. Let's turn over there. I can't bypass this one. Glory to God. Nope. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, how do I get in there? That's where I want to abide. I want to be there in the shadow of the Almighty. I don't want to be outside that. How do I get in? Oh God, let me in there. That won't do it. That will not do it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, if that don't set you on fire, your wood's wet, brother. Praise God. I'm telling you, that's dancing time in the household of faith. Praise God. That's the reason David would dance before the Lord with all of his might. Because this work, these psalms work for him in combat. Hallelujah. That's the soldier's psalm. I know of hundreds and hundreds under the command of personal friends of mine that caused their Keith Kerber, colonel, retired pastoring church up in Alaska now, special forces, He said, I want you to lay hands on me. And Gloria and I did. He was about to deploy. He said, I'm taking over a high casualty unit. Well, we went over the 91st Psalm, and I told him about what I had read of a World War I commander that commanded all of the troops under his command to memorize the 91st Psalm. And you had to be standing ready. You know, I mean, you walk up in front of them and say, verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid of terror by night, nor for the air that flies by day, sir. I don't care. Just like they, like we had to do when we was in the service, learning the orders of the day. If they called out, number 3. I mean, brother, you had to come up with number 3. And that's they did it with that whole 91st Psalm. So that they had it. They said it every day. They said it in formation every day. And in combat, that man did not lose a man under his command. So Colonel Kirby and Gloria and me we believed God, stood on the word. I said, Keith, let me know. So the 4 of us were standing there praising God and worshiping God. And then he went, you know, 2-year deployment. Well, I pray in the spirit of over my partners and over, and you know, all that. But I wasn't thinking about Keith every day. But now that's the reason you need to be praying in tongues and take care of your prayer life every day. You turn that over to the Holy Spirit now, and it would come up. But my partners, I pray for my partners every day, every day. Well, I got a call, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Gloria and I were in the bed, and that phone rang, and I answered it, and it was Keith. Brother Copeland, I'm home. I said, hey, Keith. He said, I'm so excited, I want to tell you I didn't lose a man, praise God. He said, we were protected through this whole thing. Why? He was in this secret place, and he knew how to control his tongue. And like David said, don't let me sin with my tongue. Put a watch over my mouth. That amen, hallelujah. All right. So words. That's the way you get in. There's words. Words spoken in faith. Okay. I got so much to do this week. Whoa. Okay. Psalm 103, verse 5 and verse 20. Well, yeah. Lord, this is going to be a fun day. Verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, the word things in the King James translation is italicized, so it just simply tells you that it was put in there by the translator. Satisfies thy mouth with good. Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, is he talking about food? I've heard people translate that way. But actually, it simply says, who satisfies thy mouth with good, thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So now let's take the way this was translated. That's fine. The Hebrew root to things, material things, anything that can be touched and so forth, is word. That's good, isn't it? Because all things created by words. So, he fills my mouth with good words that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, if that was just one little spot, we couldn't do that. But we know because of the flowing principle. So what do we know from the book of Isaiah? He renews my, I wait upon the Lord. Huh? What am I doing? Waiting upon the Lord. I'm praising Him. I'm standing before Him. I'm worshiping Him. Words. Amen. And He renews my strength like the eagles. Praise God. Words. How does He do that? I believe I receive it. Isn't that what Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, talking about Mark 11, 23? I believe I receive the strength. Words. Words. Now, whoa. You can't, there's just scripture after scripture. I carry a whole list of them in my little book here. I go from strength to strength. As my days are, so shall my strength be. He is my strength. He upholds me. Praise God. Saying it, making confession of these things before God, and they come to pass. All right. Now, also, I want you, now, that was the fifth verse. Let's go to the 20th verse of the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O you angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. They're not listening for what God is saying in the earth. They already know what God is saying. It's when we say it that activate them. Otherwise, they don't have anything to work with. Amen. Hebrews 1, 14, to which the angels said, He at any time sit on my right hand. Are they not all ministering spirit? Sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. Well, what are they waiting for? They're waiting for to hear what's coming out of your mouth. You and I are the deciding witness. Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. Amen. So what you're saying is what licensed the angels or the devils to work. Hallelujah. Every day from December the 1st to December the 25th, we are giving and sowing into you a free downloadable gift. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. This is good. Christmas is wonderful. Praise God. And we get in it. Praise the Lord. We get in it in our household. Father, we thank You today for the Word. We give You praise and we honor You for Your presence here. We open our hearts, we open our minds for revelation from heaven. And we thank You. We believe we receive it. We give You the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about words, the most important things in this planet, actually in this whole creation. That makes the Word of God the most precious thing there is. Amen. We live in a God created in the beginning. God created the heaven and earth. God said, light be, light was. Then we live in a word-created environment. We live in a word-upheld environment. He's upholding all things by the word of His power. Now, Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things, those words, which he saith, he shall have whatever he says. Now, he cleared that up. And Matthew recorded it in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. He said, you are justified by your words. You are condemned by your words. So what he said in Mark 11, 23 is just not just on the positive side. Because he said, out of the good treasure of a good man's heart, good things come to pass. Out of the evil treasure of an evil man's heart, evil things come to pass. Why? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's coming out of your mouth, that's what you have. There, you can't duck that. It's a spiritual law. So we live in a word-dominated environment. Praise God. Thank God for it. Oh, yeah. The devil is stuck with it. He can't change it. Jesus removed all of his power from him, brought him to naught. He's a zero. Now, the power that he has to get it from you, and he has to get into your mouth and get you to say it so he can do the work. Whoa. It's so simple. You know, that's so simple, you have to have help to misunderstand it. And we've had some high-priced religious help that's helped us misunderstand this for centuries. But when you get into the Bible and you begin to see words, 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 throughout the entire Bible, words change everything. Words are everything. Hallelujah. Now, we talked about that Psalms 19:4, they make my words acceptable to you, O Lord. Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, he's my God, in him I trust, and then he'll deliver me. That's the way you get into the secret place of the Most High God. Then the 103rd Psalm, the 5th verse, says that he fills my mouth with good. So he fills my mouth with, the King James says good things, but that's italicized. So he fills my mouth with good words so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. And then we found out in the 20th verse of that chapter that the angels hearken to the voice of his word. Well, are they hearkening just to what they hear him say? No. No. They have to listen to what we say. You got the devil listening to you on one side and your angel listening to you on the other. And whatever you say licenses the dark side or the light side. That's just the way it is. But the beautiful part of it is Satan can't change it and God won't. That means you and I have the God-given, God-perfected, God-anointed right to choose the words under which we live that govern our lives and destiny. God has established it. I want you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying through my mouth. God has established it so that no one, nobody, nobody, listen, say it, nobody, nobody but you can establish your destiny. I don't care what color you are.
Well, that's easy for your pretty white self to say.
Now, wait a minute. Knowing you would say that, I just quoted Bill Winston. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Me and, you know, Bill and me, we gang up on you. And I got Bill on one side and Creflo on the other and Keith Butler on the other and, Yeah. Amen. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're watching this right now in the Navajo Nation. I don't care if you're on the Cherokee Reservation in Oklahoma. I don't care where you are. Hey, it doesn't make any difference. You've been telling everybody don't make any difference. Well, quit being a word racist. I didn't say that. That came right out of the heart of God. See, those are the lies that the devil tells you. Only you. Let me give you an example of that. The bigot.
Oh, you don't know. You don't know what that old bigot said about me.
Well, hey, that's not your problem unless you believe it or fuss with it. Just pray for him. Roll all the care of it over on the Lord and say, oh, Lord, he just needs you.
Oh, brother, come, but it hurts so bad.
Well, then that's the reason you need to get better at it. because if you get let this word get down into you, it'll get to where I'm telling you all that stuff they've been saying, because that's just Satan trying to get your attention and kind of get you into offense so he can steal the word out of you, and you start saying what he's saying, he's got you. Glory to God. All right. Here I go. And then Proverbs 4:24, put away from you a disobedient mouth. I want to go there right now. My son, attend to my words. Attend to my what? My words. Incline thine ear. Incline means to lean over. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let them, my words, say words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, in your spirit, for they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health. The Hebrew text is medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart, your spirit, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues or the forces of life. The force of faith, the force of hope, the force of love, all the fruit of the Spirit, all of those forces, the force of patience, love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, God, all of those forces are in your spirit, and you need to be protecting your spirit with all diligence. Why? Because out of, out of it are the issues of life. What's he talking about here? That's what Jesus said. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, and that's when things come to pass. Protect your spirit with all diligence. Words. Put away from you a froward mouth. Frowardness of mouth. Disobedient mouth. Perverse lips. Lips that are saying things that are perverse, that shouldn't be said, shouldn't be talked like that. And that's not just talking about, you know, just the nasty stuff. No, you ought not be saying, I don't ever get it. They all get it, but I don't get it. That's perverse. Whew, glory to God. I tell you, it's getting thick in this house in here today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, put away from you a disobedient mouth. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eye look straight ahead. Hallelujah. At what? The Word. All right. Now, Proverbs 6:2. You are snared with the words of your mouth. A snare is a trap. Your words will put you in a trap. It's Satan's trap. It's his yoke. And he'll snap it closed on you. Then a man, in Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 15:4, the wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction. Proverbs 18:20, increase comes from the lips. That's the way you increase, is by confessing, increasing scriptures and promises, praise God. But now, whoa, I mean, here is, if you take all of what we're talking about, the foundation Scripture, death, Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record before you this day. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore you choose life, that you and your seed shall live. How do you choose life? You have to choose life words. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's where it is, right there. Amen. Now, let's go right straight from there to the book of James. I want to touch this right now so it'll be stuck there in your thinking, because we're going to be coming back to this. We won't get to it today, but I just want to just drop this. James 3, my brethren, be not so forth, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small rudder, wherever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, the fire starter, the start button is the tongue. The tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Now, wait a minute. It's the kindling, but it don't have to just be set on fire of hell. No, we've been baptizing the Holy Ghost in fire. I mean, it'll set your faith on fire. Are you listening to me? It's right here. Death and life. Death and life. And they ought not be mingled up. I'm way out ahead of myself, but I wanted to plant that in you right now, because we're going there big time before we get through this week. Now then, Micah 5:2, words dominate time. Micah, the prophet, said, a baby will be born in Bethlehem. 715 years later, that baby was born in Bethlehem. Well, yeah, Brother Copeland, but a prophet said that. No, God said that. Well, yeah, but a prophet said that. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. It wouldn't have happened if the man hadn't said it. Men have authority in the earth. I'm just going to let that hang there. God gave the earth to men, to mankind. That word dominated armies. It dominated nations. It moved people around the earth in and out until that moment in Bethlehem. That baby was born in that manger. Was he born in that manger because they were poor? No, they're far from poor. Poor folks don't have to go somewhere and pay taxes. Caesar had an idea. That hadn't happened before, as far as I know. He had an idea. You know what we ought to do? We ought to have everybody go to their home, you know, go to their hometown to pay taxes. I don't care how hard it is on them. That's what they ought to do. Where'd he get that idea? From Micah. It had been spoken, and it dominated until the second. Oh, my. The power. Malachi 3:10, your words are stout against me. Your words. I can't do. Right, let's go over there. Malachi 3:10. Last book in the first covenant, right before Matthew. Go to the book of Matthew and turn left once. And third chapter. Now, that's the great tithing promise chapter, right? Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, maybe meet my house, prove me, saith the Lord of hosts. that I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, isn't this wonderful? No, because your words have been stout against me. See, he said, this is what I told you I'd do. This is what I've been wanting to do for you. But you won't let me. All you want to say is, it's vain to serve God. What profit is it when we keep his ordinance? That we walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, and they work wickedness is set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. That the way you've been talking? Well, I just tithe and tithe. Ain't nothing happened to me, so I just quit it. I was broke anyways. Shut your mouth! Your words are stout against God! Well, I think God, you know, I think tithing was under the law, so. Well, so what? Well, you know, I don't think we have to tithe. So what? You get to tithe. Tithing started in the Garden of Eden, and it's all the way through the book of Hebrews, praise God. Oh, what a joy. What a joy. What a joy. Can you see it? Your words stout against God. He can't move. He's God. I know it, but he's already said, and you can't violate his own word. He's exalted his word above his name, because what he says in his name, it has to be so. Boy, once he said that word, I mean, his name and all there is subject to it. You know, what if God came in and said, isn't this a beautiful Tuesday? Brother Copeland, this is Thursday. Not anymore, didn't it? All the calendars changing. You the only one that thinks. Can you see what I mean, though? What if Jesus was just a peer right in your congregation and stood right there and say, I'm glad to announce to you today that everything you say will now come to pass. Somebody's going to say, thrill you to death. Okay. All right. Oh, we're out of time. Praise God. But you're beginning to see it, aren't you? The words are the most important thing in the planet. But by the authority of faith and by the authority of the name and the blood, we have the God-given strength and power by the grace of God to choose his word in our lives. This is the joy time of the year, particularly at the Copeland household and KCM and at EMIC. I tell you what, it's a special time around here. And we want to sow some really special gifts into your life, one every day until Christmas. That's nice, isn't it? Go to the website, kcm.org/25days. Hey, that's good. And, of course, you can find out how to start receiving yours. But, hey, also download your study notes. You know what to do with that. That's a good thing. You need those. Particularly in a study like what we're doing on words and all the different scriptures, a lot of scripture going forth here. And so you need all of those. You need them all outlined and neatly placed, just like with Gloria and Pastor George and all the outlines on prosperity. Hasn't that just been, my goodness, what a glorious treasure trove that is. Words. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for this broadcast. We open our hearts and minds to you, sir, to receive revelation from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles once more today to Matthew chapter 12, and Jesus said this. He said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." He'll give account thereof. Are you getting it? He'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, we've talked about that this is a word-created, word-upheld environment. God said, and it was. And He's upholding all things by the word of His power. And then we found that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words dominate time. "Your words are stout against me," the Lord said. "We have believed, therefore we have spoken," the Apostle Paul said. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Amen. Now, before we get over into the New Testament side of this, I want to talk to you from the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter. If you'd turn there with me, please. Genesis chapter 11, and let's read the first 9 verses there. Now, watch carefully words. Say it, words, words. Let me say it again. Words are the most important things in this planet. And that makes the Word of God the most precious thing in this planet, because He's given us His words to put in our mouth to become our words. And so when we speak in His power. Satan is stuck with that because he can't get out from under it. He doesn't have any power unless you give it to him by what you say. When you say something that is on his side of the ledger, then he can move right in on that because those are his words. When you speak God's words and make those the words of your life, then the Spirit of God is moving there. The angel, your angel that God's assigned you can move in your life because you're speaking the words of God. The Scripture said that Jesus spoke the words of God. Therefore, God gave him his Spirit without measure. Not because he didn't sin. He didn't. Praise God. But he ministered here as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. He said, "I can do nothing of myself. I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do." But he only said what his Father said, and he only did what he saw his Father do, his daddy. That's right, his Abba. Now, let's look at this then. In the 11th chapter of Genesis, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. I have a reference in a cross reference there, Hebrew words. All right. The whole earth was of one language and of one words. It came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." They had brick for stone and slime, and they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded." And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They're one. They're in agreement. And they have one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. As long as they're in agreement, and as long as they're all saying the same thing, there's no restraint to this. Let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, or confusion, because the Lord did therefore confound the language of all the earth, and from there did the Lord scatter them abroad on the face of the earth. Now, the only thing that could stop those people is to change what they were saying, because anything they could imagine as one people in agreement, anything they could imagine, communicate it and agree on it, there's no restraint to them. Whoa. Boy, that says it all, doesn't it? Now, of course, you remember James 3:16, where there is confusion, where there is strife. See, this brought strife and schism. Where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. When you're not saying what God says, I mean, you've just licensed the devil to tear the house down, particularly if you're fighting and fussing and in strife. 2 Timothy 2, my. Such an eye-opening scripture said, those that oppose themselves, they're opposing themselves in strife. A man of God must not strive, must be gentle and apt to teach and so forth. So that perhaps God will give them repentance? What do you mean, perhaps? They can't hear Him. They're too busy fighting one another. They're not hearing God or they wouldn't be fighting. They're not hearing God or they'd be in love with one another. No, they're fussing and fighting. And the scripture says Satan takes them captive at his will. Why? Because of the words that are coming out of their hearts and coming out of their mouth. Oh, my, my. Now then, let's go over to the book of Numbers, please. And this is in the 14th chapter of Numbers. Now, the size of the people, number of people, is somewhere around 2 million people in this desert. Came out of Egypt, whoa, big time, man. Came across that Red Sea and began to dance and praise before God. And that's the last time they praised Him in 40 years. Now, that'll open your eyes. Praise words. Anyway, here we go. I want you to notice something here. Oh, well, Caleb stilled the people in the 13th, in the 13th chapter, 30th verse. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up and once possess it, and we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against him, for they are stronger than we are, and they brought up an evil report of the land. Caleb and Joshua, two men out of 2 million. Two men out of 2 million chose to speak what God had said. God said, I've given you the land. Caleb said, it's ours. God gave it to us. We're well able. Let's go over there and take it now. 2 million people could not overcome two faith men because of their words. Caleb, the scripture says, was of a different spirit. Well, of course, it's a spirit of faith. So now, let's go on down. Chapter 14, verse 1. All the congregation lifted up their voice, all of them, their voice. They were one voice. They were in agreement. 2 million of them in agreement together lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives, our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now, would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Now, they're thinking about going back across that Red Sea. There ain't no way they're getting back across that Red Sea. You can't do it. You can't walk across that. That sure wasn't going to open up for them. Or would God we died in this wilderness? They kept saying it. We're going to die in this wilderness. We're going to die in this wilderness. We are going to die in this wilderness. We're going to die in this desert. We're going to die in the desert. We're going to die in the desert. We're going to die in the desert. Now, verse 28. God said, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. He had no choice. They said it. They're his covenant people. They said it. He had no choice. That wasn't his will. He's God, his love. They didn't believe he loved them. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old upward, which have murmured against me. You said it, and now that's what has to happen, because I can't protect you. I can't go any further because you said it. It is so it's such vital. Let's go to the 90th Psalm. Psalm 90. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, thou hast formed the earth. The world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and was a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as sleep in the morning. They're like grass that groweth up in the morning. It flourishes and grows up in the evening. It's cut down and withered. We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. You see, he's crying out. He's interceding for them, and he's crying out before God. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that's told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they're 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. See, Moses said, Moses said, our years have been cut to 70, or at the most 80. What was happening? They were not getting out of that desert alone, alive. No. 80 is the maximum. 80 was the maximum. You ain't getting out of here if you're in that group. Well, see, we've taken that 70, 80 year, and you're still living by it. Words. Everybody says that. Well, but now wait a minute. God didn't say that. Moses was crying out, yeah, but Brother Copeland, God said they died. No, they said they would die in the desert. And God said, okay, it'll have to be as you said. Oh, but now you go back to the book of Genesis, and you go back to the sixth chapter of Genesis, the third verse. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, God said his days will be 120. That's what people should be saying, because that's what he said. And medical science will tell you today, the physical body should live 120 years. Well, why doesn't it? Well, what have you been saying? Now, when you begin to say what God has said, now let me show you how the Bible is constructed. We're right there next to the 91st Psalm. Let's just move over there to it, and let's go down to the 16th verse. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah. But now, what is long life? See, you and I don't have any right to make our own choice of what long life is, because he's already said 120 years. So once he said, see, he said that in Genesis. So that follows through to Revelation. He's never changed that. He never came back and said, well, you know, I mean, no. He said, the days of man shall be 120 years. The New Living says his normal lifespan, which means you can live more than that. But that's the benchmark right there, that 120. So when he's, all of the food laws in the book of Leviticus, everything that's on the side that you're not supposed to eat is because it will affect that time span. So he's already said it, see, that all of those foods that are the ones that you should be eating and not the other, it's all based on that 120, and he had to make it a law to them. They wouldn't do it any otherwise. But if you'd follow it, then you could do that. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Don't get your gun out and start grabbing at me. I'm talking about words. Those words, that 120 will dominate your life if you'll allow it to. Now, I didn't catch on to it all that long ago. But I saw through it, and the Lord said to me, that is just as much my word as by my stripes you were healed. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your presence. Oh my, oh my, oh my. It is so rich and good to worship you and bless you. We open our hearts and we open our minds for revelation, words from heaven. Words. Words, the most important thing in all of this planet. Words. And we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. KCM is giving away Christmas gifts. Hey, hey, hey. No, we ain't giving them away. We're giving them to you. Praise God. We're sowing into your life. I like the word sow. I like to give. I don't like that away word. That is a world word. We don't give away. We sow into. We're sowing into you. We're giving to you. From now until December the 25th, every day, go to kcm.org/25days. Now, you go there and find out. We're sowing copies of my brand new Word of Faith Commentary Bible. No, you got to get your hands on that. Praise God. God, hey, slow down, Kenneth. Go to the website for all of the details on how to participate. Okay, glory to God. I got it all out at one time. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12 again. Let's go back to the words of Jesus. We're talking about words, the most powerful things in this planet, which makes the Word of God the most precious thing in this planet. Now, Matthew chapter 12. I want to read down through here. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by the fruit. Generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, or just natural. He wasn't talking about bank robbers and all that. No, he's talking to God's people here. How can you, just being natural, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How can you load up your spirit with doubt, unbelief, religious, brainwashed instead of New Testament taught, as Brother Hagin used to say. How can you do that and say something else? You can't. You can't get apples out of briars. What is in that seed that went into the ground is what came up. What went into your spirit as a seed produced and came up. How? Out of your mouth. Words. Now then, a good man out of the good treasure of heart, with the good stuff he's put in there, brings forth good things. Why? Because out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, what is he talking about there? Whatsoever doesn't proceed from faith is sin. Remember that? Now, don't let that put you into condemnation. Hey, A merry heart does good like a medicine. We were laughing in here in the studio earlier today and just hee-hawing over some stuff. Well, those are not idle words. Now, if when you get really seriously into idle words, what he's referring to there was the fact that they prayed and 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 thought they would be heard for their much saying. And that's actually what he was referring to. He said the Gentile do that. Let me give you an idea here. An idea, that's good. Okay. Jesus said to that fig tree, no man eat fruit of you again hereafter forever. 9 words. Then when he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast, see not down his heart. He said, whosoever shall say 9 words, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. So, now this is an, I like it. I use it as tracks to run on. Dear Lord, I said 11 words, it'll not come to pass. Now that's stupid. But when you start even saying the 9 words, let's see. How many times I got to say this? Oh no, what am I going to do? I had a situation one time where I was coming up against a deadline. I mean a big deadline. And I was $25,000 short. And this is back in the days when there were no cell phones and so forth. So I just got the boat out and got out in the middle of the lake where you know, no phones could ring or anything. And I just got out there by myself. And I said, oh, God. Oh, God, I believe I receive it. 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 And I'm telling you, right inside me, big time, he said, shut up! Yes, sir. Well, I came to attention. I mean, he had to do it that way to shut my mouth. I said, yes, sir. He said, there's no faith in that. He said, you're saying that. He said, you're saying the right words, but they're full of fear, not full of faith. What are those idle words? See, I tell you fig tree, you're going to have to listen to me. Oh, you're going to have to. Those are idle words. Why? Because you added them in there because you didn't have any faith and you want this thing to come to pass and you're going to be ashamed if it doesn't come to pass because you said it publicly. Blah, 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 blah. Idle words. Worthless words. Now, notice he said, you'll give account for that in judgment. Whoa. Like one fellow said, I need a crop failure really bad. Well, that's easy. Amen. Father, I repent. My, get back in here and get back in the Word and enter into His rest and let Jesus have the privilege of doing what He does, which is back our words as our high priest. Amen. Hebrews 3:1 and 4:16. I mean, He is our high priest. Let us hold fast to our confession. He is the high priest because He hears them and backs them when they're His words. Amen. Now, let's go over to the book of James. Oh, yesterday we were talking about what was going on out there in the plains of Shinar. And God didn't have any choice. When the children of Israel said, we're going to die in this desert, and they kept saying, we're going to die in this desert, He said, okay, Moses, tell them that I'm going to have to do what I heard them speak in my ear. He didn't say, I'm going to kill them all. No, that's not the tone in which He said it. He said, I'm going to have to. I can't do anything else. They're stiff-necked people and their words are stout against me. Words, 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 words. Okay, now then, in the book of James, this is such marvelous teaching. It should be. This man was raised in the household with Jesus. That's the reason you see some things in the book of James you don't quite see in other places, and particularly, I won't take time to go into that. Third chapter of the book of James, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any person, anybody, offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature person, able also to bridle the whole body. The whole body. Now notice. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor or the captain decides, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. A kindling is just, can be just a spark in some places. Kindling is something small that is readily ignitable, and it ignites something just a little larger, then that catches on to something a little larger than that, and then that a little larger than that, and the next thing you know, you got a bonfire, the next thing you know, you got a forest fire, the next thing you know, you got houses burning. You understand? We've experienced a lot of that. Last summer and fall. And a lot of it, you know, over the years. Now, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. I have a cross reference, says the wheel of nature. It starts the ball rolling and is set on fire of hell. Now, that's somebody that's not walking in love, but that's anybody. That's the way it works. This is a voice-activated system. It is a voice-activated environment. Help me, Lord. The tongue is the start button. Did you get it? When you punch that button, there's a series of things happen. There's certain things that have to take place before that engine will run. But once you punch that start button, it's going to continue to run until you punch it again. The tongue is the start button and the stop button. Amen. Now, and this seventh verse, you got to get this now. You don't just, look at that, Brother Copeland. Every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. Well, I mean, what's the use? The Bible said no man can tame the tongue. No, it didn't. Now, back up and let's look at this. For every kind of beast, birds, serpents, things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. The cross-reference says the nature of man, natural human nature, natural. You don't have to be born again to train an animal. Sinner or saint can train a horse. They know how. But the tongue can no man tame with natural human power. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Behold, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. How do you choose life? You choose life words. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Of course not. That's what Jesus, we just read when Jesus saying that. Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt and or salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. Let him show out of good conduct, a good conversation, spirit, soul, body, words, his works with meekness of wisdom, his life of faith, in other words. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Shut your mouth. If there's a bunch of bitterness in there, shut your mouth. Don't be spewing that curse and that putrid stuff out your mouth. No, no. What does the Word of God say? Don't let bitterness come out of your mouth. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. For this, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the anointing. Amen. Now, follow me. Just keep your mouth shut. No, no, no. Don't be doing that. What are we doing? We're making a move now to tame this tongue. We got to reprogram it. We've got to take authority over it with the name, the blood, and the Word of God. This wisdom descends not from above, what? The root of bitterness. Bitter envying and strife. Put a stop to it now. It's like having a cobra in your kitchen. It's like having a diamondback rattlesnake in the crib with your baby. It's that serious. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual. It's of the five senses. It's, I feel bad. I'm going to talk like I feel. You talk to me like that one more time. I don't want to. I'm so sick and tired of you. You make me sick to my stomach. I just don't know what's, I just, you know, and I just stay sick all the time. Well, of course you do. Now listen. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion, there is babble, and every evil work. Even though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I am nothing but a lot of noise. You go right down through that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He just got through giving us the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Then he goes into the 13th chapter and starts, and he tells you, here's what happens when you're doing all of, you can stand up and give messages in tongues just day and night and day and night. But if you're over into this, you're into strife and all that kind of stuff, you might as well be standing there just banging the bottom of a pot. For all the good it does. And go down through there and you'll find every gift of the Spirit that he listed over here killed because of not walking in love. Now, the wisdom that is from above, now Luke 11:49, Jesus called the written word the wisdom of God. The wisdom that the word of God that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it is full of mercy. Oh, aren't you glad? It is full of, oh God, I repent. I put your word in my heart and in my mouth. In Jesus' name, put a watch over my mouth that I don't sin against you with my tongue. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruit, glory to God. It is without partiality. That means anybody can put the word of God to work at any time. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, hallelujah, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive them, and you shall have them. But when you stand praying, forgive. Can you see it? Well, I sure you can. Listen to this one. It's full of mercy, full of good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. What does that mean? My nose is running, you know, my face is red, I got 102 temperature, and I'm saying, I'm healed, glory to God, I'm healed. Well, you hypocrite, everybody can see you not. No, I'm not a hypocrite because I'm speaking the word of God. I'm not trying to get you to believe that I'm healed. That helped somebody right then, I know. Glory to God. And it is sown in peace of them that make peace. Glory to God. Isn't that rich? Now remember, download the free Christmas gifts. Every day from December the 1st through December the 25th, we're going to sow it into your life. You're going to see some our most popular books and audio teachings and so forth. It's good stuff. You're going to be glad you did. Just go to kcm.org/25days. Start receiving it today. And, hey, don't forget the notes. Put the notes in there, too. You're going to need those. Father, we thank you today for your word, and it's so good. Oh, we enjoy your presence, and we worship you today in Jesus' name. We open our hearts, we open our minds. We are yours to command, Lord Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We have been talking for 2 weeks about words. The most important things in this planet are words. The word of God, therefore, is the most precious thing in this planet. We live in a word-created, word-upheld, he's upholding all things by the word of his power, word-dominated environment. We can't change that. God won't change that. The devil would give anything if he could, but he can't. He's stuck with it. He can't do anything to you without you say it. And we have the God-given, blood-protected right and privilege to choose the words under which we live. to choose the words that dominate our lives, and thereby choosing and establishing our own track in life. There are two paths, only two. One is to a palace. The other is to a jail. You choose. God's already made His choice. He said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life, that you and your seed may live. See, He's already made His choice. He's chosen you. He said, hey, come on, baby. Choose me. Choose life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Glory to God. Now, let's review by reading Mark 11:23 again, right? Amen. Praise God. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Listen now, listen. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, those things or words, believe that those words which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, the law of words. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12 now. And let's remember what Jesus said here. And this will prove that that word that he just gave is absolutely spiritual law, whether you're saying words from God or whether you're saying words from fear, whether you're saying words from hell, blessing, or cursing. You choose. Because Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart, of the spirit, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now, how is that, Jesus? Well, back up one verse. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then he said, every idle word, every faithless word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words shall you be condemned. It's words. It's words. It's words. We found out from the book of James yesterday the tongue can be tamed, but it can only be tamed. It can't be tamed with natural man. The natural tongue just blabs off on its own, but everything you have today is what you said yesterday. a lot of this that people think is the devil. Well, look what the devil is doing to me. And actually, he's supporting it, yeah. But, hey, that's what you've been saying. That's what you've been saying for years. And it's come to pass in your life. And you're getting in every prayer line you can get in. And they wear, like Brother Hagin used to say, you can lay hands on you till they wear all the hair off your head. It's not going to do any good. Because you turn around and say something else. Oh, my. Well, what do I do, Brother Cole? Repent. Say something different. Hallelujah. Just go over there to 1 John 1:9. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them. And that don't mean you got to just give me. No. Just go before him one time. Read that verse and go before him. And say, Lord Jesus, I see it right here. And Lord, I repent. And here's what I did. And don't make it easy on yourself. Here's what I did. I said it. And I did it. And I repent of it. It's wrong. I'm wrong. But in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, it says here, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins when I confess them. And not only that, but to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, when you get up off of your knees, when you get up from receiving communion, then don't say, well, no. Don't start saying anything else except he's faithful and he's just. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how sorry a thing you did. Don't allow condemnation to get into your life, not one second anymore. You flip right over there to the book of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now. When? Right now. How come? Because I just repented. I meant every word of it, and I confessed it before Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, and he's faithful and he's just. He's forgiven me. I sure don't feel it. Don't start that. Your feelings ain't even involved here. Shut your feelings down with the Word. Put the Word in your mouth. Don't let your mouth. I mean, if you're saying it through tears, you just keep in there. I am forgiven and I am cleansed from that unrighteousness. I believe, I receive my forgiveness and my cleansing, and I say it according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, thank God I'm forgiven and I'm cleansed in Jesus' name. Amen. That's by you receive forgiveness by faith, not by feeling. You don't walk by feelings. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We have to put the faith words in your mouth until they change the way you feel. All right. Now then, what Jesus just said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, whether you're speaking by faith or speaking by fear. Mark 11, 23 is still true. It is true on the God side. It's true on the devil side. Here again, out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. You, I am the deciding witness in my life. You are the deciding witness in your life. God has established it so that only you can determine your destiny. Amen. It has nothing to do with your background. It has nothing to do with your ethnic background. I don't care what color you are. Amen. It has everything to do with what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. We talked about this already this week. Two men, Joshua and Caleb, two men turned the destiny of 2 million. Now listen to it. 2 million people's foul confession couldn't change the destiny of two faith men. I'm going to say something to you right now. Can I go ahead and say that, sir? Yes. Moses' words kept him from crossing the Jordan. But it didn't stop Joshua and Caleb. Oh, Lord. The words that they chose to speak changed it. Kept it, ordered it, and that's the way it is in your own life. Meditate on it, talk about it, think about it. Praise God. Now then, let's review. Psalm 19:14, make my words acceptable. Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, and my God. That's the entrance into the secret place of the Most High God. I will say of the Lord, he's my fortress, glory, he's my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me. Glory to God. Psalm 103:5, he fills my mouth with good things, good words. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Then the 20th verse, his angels hearken to the voice of the word. Well, it's not when God speaks it, it's when you speak it, it's when I speak it, that our ministering spirits, are they not your angels, to which the angels said he at any time sit on my right hand and make your enemy his footstool, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for they that are the heirs of salvation? They're listening to what you say. Are you keeping your angels bound by some silly something, by some stupid something that you keep saying all the time? That just slang stuff you just keep saying and bind them up where they can't move? I don't know why it is. I just get the flu every season. Seems like I just can't stop it. And your one angel, yours, is standing there listening to you say that, and the other one says, you know, I don't understand him. I don't know why he wants the flu every year, do you? No. I wish he'd quit that, because but my hands are bound. Think about it. Now then, put away from you a froward mouth, Proverbs 4:24. Proverbs 6:2, snared with the words of your mouth. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 15:4, the wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction. Proverbs 18:20, increase comes by the fruit of the lips. And 20:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Micah 5:2, words dominate time. Micah said, there is a baby going to be born in Bethlehem. 715 years later, Jesus was born right on that spot, right at exactly the same time. And it controlled Caesar's ideas. It controlled armies and nations where everybody, the succession of time had to be established through all of that time. But those faith-filled words dominated it. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:13, your words are stout against me. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have believed and we have spoken. Hebrews 3:1, Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, let us hold fast to our profession or our confession. Same word. Amen. Well, what did Joel 3:10 say? Let the weak say, I'm strong. But going around saying, I'm just so weak. I'm just so weak. Well, that's one of the reasons you're so weak. I can tell you another reason why you're weak. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you're born again, the joy is in there. Love, joy, peace, long suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Oh, hey, that's God. He's in there. What are you saying? I don't know. I just don't have any joy. Yeah, you do. But it only responds to faith. Okay, I have the joy of the Lord. All right, now begin to feed on the Scriptures. And just like the 126th, the Psalm, you fill my mouth with laughter, my feet with dancing. Ha, 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 ha. Well, I don't know. Hey, just start. Ha, ha, ha. I have joy. I have joy. There's more to joy than just jumping around and laughing. Now, that's a product of it. But joy is your strength. You're low on joy. So start talking joy. Start speaking joy. Start looking in the mirror and just smile whether you like it. If you have to slap your jaws and make yourself smile, smile anyway. Yeah, I mean it. I've had to do this at times that I'm just worn down to the point where my physical body is hurting, and you just, yes, just fix it on there. Hallelujah. God sits in the heaven and laughs at the devil. And I've been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places. And if I sit with him, I'm going to laugh with him. And just laugh until it breaks through and you start laughing at your own silly self. the joy of the Lord will come in. Even in times of deep grief, the scripture says to sorrow not like those who have no hope. We're not a people without hope. I take that as a command. God understands the hurt of my feelings, but don't yield to that spirit of grief. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. What can I do then? Just break on through it by praising. I know where my baby is. God didn't take my baby. He's never taken anybody. He's not a killer. Jesus. Yes, I refuse grief. I refuse you, Satan. I will. Now, hey, there's nothing there. You miss them? I know. I've been there. And it hurts. But I'm going to tell you, if you insist on walking in love and walking in the joy of the Lord, because that's your strength, if you insist on it and you take that stand on it in the name of Jesus, joy will break through that. And it is stunning. And it's not a laughing joy. It's a worshiping joy. Oh. I'm talking to somebody right now. Oh, sweetheart, God loves you and we love you. Don't let that steal from you. Don't let the spirit of death, which is the spirit of grief, Don't let that demon come in there and steal your joy. You get over there. Hey, you get over there. You get over there and you get into the Word. Thank God. You just get into the Word. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sorrow not. This is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or that have passed away, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive shall remain unto the coming of the Lord, and shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive remain and be caught up together with them in the clouds, and meet them in the Lord, and so shall we be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Peter 3:10. Ooh. You got to get this. You got to get this. Thank you, God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. And I can see by the way Tim's waving that card around, this is just the only one I got left time for. But you got to get this. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Wow. Isn't that good? I'll be back in a minute.
We put our brains to work, creativity to work, our hands to work, equipment to work, and tools to work, trusting in the ability of each component to engage and get the job done. Are you putting your faith to work? As believers, we have access to everything God has because faith in God, activated by the Word, will work. With Kenneth Copeland's teaching, How to Put Your Faith to Work, you'll learn exactly that. These 6 messages on USB drive can be plugged in and played from a computer, in your car, or even downloaded onto your mobile device. Simply plug it in and follow the instructions in the case, and you'll be able to listen to all 6 messages wherever you are. Understand how to engage your faith and put it to work. Use your faith like a mechanic uses a tool and begin a life of faith that works for you.
Put your faith to work today. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's teaching, How to Put Your Faith to Work. This MP3 audio series is available now on USB drive. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Also available as a digital download. Live a lifestyle of faith. Mix faith with the Word of God and watch it produce the blessing in your life. Offer good for 60 days.
Now let's go over here to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. If thou shalt confess or say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that Greek word translated saved means salvation, healing, deliverance from calamity, and made sound and well again. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but now listen to this, with the mouth or with words, confession is made unto sozo, salvation, soundness, healing, deliverance. That's the way it works. Brother, that's just too easy. No. It wasn't easy at all. But Jesus did all the hard part. He suffered, sweat, blood in that garden, suffered that cross, went to hell and suffered in there so you and I don't have to go. The one thing he couldn't do was say, you're and my words for us. That's all was left, was to believe it in our heart and say the words. Glory to God. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right now is the time. Just put one hand over your heart and raise your other hand towards God. And just pray it out loud where you can hear it with your own mind, your own ears, your own heart. Oh God in heaven, I believe with all my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I repent of sin. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. He no longer leads me or has anything to do with me. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. And now I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. I believe what you said. And so I say it with my mouth. I receive him. And I say, because you said you'd give the Holy Spirit to anyone that asks him. I'm asking, I receive. It's mine. I'm Spirit-filled, I'm born again, and I fully expect to speak with supernatural words in tongues as you give the utterance. Thank you. I want to send you this little book, free and postpaid, help you get started studying your Bible. Amen. You don't need to be struggling with this book. It's your life.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. December 31st, bring in the new year with Kenneth Copeland at the 2017 to 2018 New Year's Eve service at Eagle Mountain International Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And in 2018, April 5th through 7th, the Copelands welcome you to the Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. May 31st through June 2nd, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Convention Center in Sacramento, California. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
A group of people you can rely on.
Community is partnership.
Community is unity and trust.
A place to find friends.
A place to build relationships.
Community is developing together.
It's offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And now listen to this from Galatians chapter 6. Let him that's taught in the word communicate or respond unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, what's he saying here? Hey, to say anything other than whatsoever a man sows, that ye also reap, to say anything else other than that, don't work for me, you just mock God. Why? Words. Words. The most powerful thing you have anything to do with are words. They are governing your lifestyle right now. Now, remember the big ship? You start turning that thing, it's going to take some time. You've been saying this stuff all your life, probably. It's going to take some time to turn that big rig around, but it'll turn because the Word of God said so. We read it out of the book of James. Whatsoever a man sows, that he also will reap. If soweth to his flesh, of the flesh he'll reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, or Zoe of God. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't stop your confession. Don't quit sowing. Just keep planting. Father, we pray over this offering today. Reveal to the people what their part of the finances of this ministry and this outreach is. And we'll be obedient to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for all of my partners. I pray for everyone that's sowing into this today by the power of what they've learned in their words that they speak the word of faith over this offering. I am a sower and I will reap. I am a sower and I will reap. I am a sower and I will reap. Some 30, some 60, some 90, some 100-fold. I am a sower and a reaper. Glory to God. Now, this time is for real. Gloria and George are going to be back Monday. Whoa, man, we don't want to miss any of that, do we? Praise God. Your harvest time has come. Partake of it and enjoy it, for I'm blessing you, saith the Lord. Believe this, Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. This is the time for miracles. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to Give is available in the U.S. only.
Hello, I'm Gloria Copeland. Join me and my guest, Pastor George Pearsons, for an exciting 2-week study on supernatural wealth transfer here on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Supernatural wealth is part of the blessing and it belongs to you. Understanding this will set you on a course of God's prosperity.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.